The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yitzchak Grossman, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. For Hetrei Iska, loans and collections, please call the center at 1-888-485-VAAD or visit thehalachacenter.org.
Vamos, Daf Kufta Zayin Amar Aleph, Hahu Gita Dishtachet Basura. A get was found in Sura, Vaksiv Bei Hachi. The text of the get read as follows: Basura Masa, in the city of Sura, Ana Anan Barchia, Narda, I, Anan son of Chia, Narda, Patris Visarchis Plonis Intasi, I hereby divorce my wife, so and so. Ubadku Rabbanam Isuravad Narda, the Rabbanan inspected the territory between Sura and Narda, Lohava Anan Barchia Achrina, there was no other Anan Barchia, no other individual with the same name as the one who we believed had written the get. Labar me Anan Barchia mechegra. There was one other candidate, another Anan Barchia of Chegra. David ben Arda, Vasusadi v'Amar dahu yama kiyekta v'hu gita Anan Barchia mechegra gabon hava. This other Anan Barchia was not in Sura on that day. He was a Nehardayan, and witnesses testified that that day the get was written, he was with them in Neharda, so he couldn't have written the get. So as long as we can eliminate him as a possibility of the author of the get is kosher, because we know there's only one other Anan Barchia, the one who we believe it is, and we can assume it is, unless, the problem is, if we know that there's someone else by the same name, Shnei Yosef and Shimon, Huchsiku Shnei Yosef and Shimon, we have to be choshesh, maybe the get wasn't written by the man we think it was, we have to make sure it was written by the right husband. If there's only one other husband with that name, and Adam testify that he was in a different city on the day the get was written, then the get should be kosher. So Amar Abaye, that's what Abaye held. Abaye held the get as kosher. Even though Abaye elsewhere was choshesh for the possibility of someone else by the same name, here Abaye says there's no problem. Witnesses testify that he was in Arda. He was not in Sura. My boy the Sura. What would he have been doing in Sura? So he can be conclusively eliminated as the author of the get. So the get is kosher because we know it belongs to the man who we think wrote it. Amar Rava, Rava's machmer. Rava disagrees. Rava says, Afludidi delo chashinan. Even according to me, I normally am not choshish. Earlier in the sugya, hacha chashinan. Here the get is not kosher. Here I'm machmer. Why? Because even though the witnesses testified that he was in Nahardah that day, there are still several possibilities that he could have actually authored this get. And the get was not written by the person we think it was. A Dilma Begam Leparcha, Azel. Maybe he traveled from Nahardah to Sura on a flying camel. What is a flying camel? Rashi says, not actually a camel that flies. A camel that is Holech Maher, a swiftly traveling camel, Ka'ofa Parech. A camel that travels swift as a bird. Inami Bekvita. Maybe he traveled from Narda to Sura via Kvita, via jumping or leaping. What does that mean? Rashi says, Aide Shem, teleportation via the divine name, presumably the divine name. Inami, third possibility, Mili Masar. Even if he stayed put in Narda the whole day, he could have authorized the get, and the Edom then could have done the get, executed the get in Sura, and the Mar explains that in such a case, they would actually write Sura in the get, even though their commission had occurred in Narda. D'amarlu Rav Lasafri, Rav instructed his scribes, V'chein amarlu Rav Huna Lasafri, Rav Huna too instructed his scribes, Ki isnechu b'shili, when you actually write a document in Shili, Ksovu b'shili, put the location as Shili, Aflagav, Mimsir Mili b'hini, even though your commission was received in a different city, called Hini. Ki isnechu b'hini, if you're actually writing in Hini, Ksovu b'hini, write Hini in the document, Aflagav, Mimsir Mili b'shili, even if your commission occurred in Shili. So even if this other Anan Barchia actually remained in Arda the entire time, if he instructed Edom to write a get, and those Edom ended up in Sura and wrote the get, they anyway would have written Sura. So because of these three possibilities, flying camels, teleportation via shame, or a commission that was then executed somewhere else, Rava says we can't be sure that it wasn't this other Anan Barchia, and therefore with Machmer we cannot allow this get, we cannot consider this get as valid, because maybe by one of these three possibilities it was really authorized, really it was really commissioned by this other Anan Barchia. This possibility of Gamla Parcha appears in one other place in Shas. This is a Gemara in Makkos. Amar Rava, Tapeyam and Aleph, Bo Shnayim Amru B'Mizrach Bira Harek Plonius HaNefesh. Edim testified to a murder that occurred in the eastern part of a Bira, a palace. Bo Shnayim V'Amru V'Lhabamara Bira Imanu HaYisim. This is Ages Aiden Zelman. They testify you were with us in the west of the Bira, so you couldn't possibly have seen what occurred in the east part of the Bira. It's close, it's in the same building, but it's far away, far away within the building. So what's the halacha? Chazinan. If it's possible to see, to observe from the west part of the Bira to the east part of the Bira, there's no Hazama, because the Edom Hamazim could be telling the truth. They were indeed in the west part of the Bira, but they could have observed a murder in the east part of the Bira. But in Lav, if sight is not possible from one to the other, Ha'elu Zomen. Mara says, Pshita, of course. Obviously, whether they're Zomen should depend exactly on that. Mara says, no. Mao detema lechishl nahora beria. Perhaps we should consider the possibility of extraordinarily keen sight. Rashi says, Shema ma'ore nehim shel elu bari. Their sight is exceptionally strong, but sofen l'merachok, they can see very far away. Yosir menu, even though we can't see from the west to the east, they can. Kamash malon, that we do not consider that possibility, and the Edom are Zomimim. Similarly, v'amar Rava, bo shnayim v'amru b'sura b'tzafra b'chad b'shabbat ha'harikloniyas ha'nefesh. In Sura, in the morning, on Sunday, we witnessed a murder. Ubo shnayim v'amru b'panya b'chad b'shabbat imanu ha'yisim b'naharda. In the evening of that same day, of that same Sunday, we were with you in Neharda. So we don't know where you were in the morning, but in the evening you were in Neharda. So again, same principle. Chazina, Nimitzafra, Lapanya, Matzi, Ozlam, Misurah, Neharda. If from morning to evening it is possible to travel from Surah to Neharda, Lohavi Zomen, then it's possible that they are telling the truth and they're not Zomen. Vilav, Havi Zomen. If it's not possible to travel, they will be considered Edom Zomen. Pshita, again, obviously, whether Zomen depends on whether it's possible to travel or not. Mao detema, again, Lechush Legam Laparcha. Maybe, even if it isn't really possible through normal means of travel, maybe they took a Gam Laparcha, this flying camel. Rashi explains again, we're not actually referring to a camel that flies, rather, Min Gemalam Yesh, Him Kalam Hum Rutzasim, a species of camel that travel very swiftly. Ke'ofa Parech, they're like birds in that they fly, in that they travel quite swiftly. Kamash Malon, again, we are not choshish for this. The Rambam codifies this halacha, the first halacha. The Rambam doesn't seem to quite codify about the Adam Barchias. This halacha, the Rambam does codify. He brings the case of the palace. He brings the case of the Gomel HaParech. The Rambam's girsa is Karkal Kofresh. Other girsos were Adam Kal. The Kesemishnah of the Radvaz explained that kar is a word for camel, or the girsa should be camel. Maybe there was a shema karkal or gomel kal biyoser in his namin lehem. Maybe they had an exceptionally swiftly traveling camel that had access to of a couple of saderach. It traveled quite quickly. We're not choshes for that. Ella, the rule is, the Rambam expresses the rule, b'dabar ha-matzi ha-yadua l'kol m'sharin la'olam mazim inosim. When we consider whether the zomen, we only consider possibilities that are common and yadua l'kol. Those are the standards by which we determine Zomen, and we don't even though there's a possibility that they found this very quick camel, it's not strictly impossible, but Hazama does not hinge on that. Now, the Rishonim all ask, we seem to have a stira between these two Gemaras. The Gemara in Yevamah says that Rava says he is Choshesh that the other Anan Barchia from the Harda came to Surah via a flying camel, yet the Gemara in Makkos discussing Edom Zomen says we don't consider that possibility. We establish this Edom are Zomen in spite of the fact that we can rescue their testimony, rescue their credibility by postulating a flying camel. So which is it? Do we contemplate, for halachic purposes, the possibility of a flying camel, or do we not? Whatever flying camel means. So as it turns out, it seems that there are at least five different explanations in the Rishonim, five approaches for reconciling the contradiction between these two Gemaras. The question is raised by Tosus. Tosus proposes the first two answers. One answer of Tosus is that really we would not normally be choshesh for flying camels. It's a very remote possibility. But here, kevan shemiskavin lekalkalashis chavero, when we're choshesh that this other Adam Barchia wrote the get, and we're going to give it to the wrong woman and she won't be divorced. What does that mean? That this was a deliberate attempt at fraud, at mischief by the wrong Adam Barchia. For whatever reason, he was trying to provide a get to a woman who's not his wife. So if he deliberately has an evil plan to do this, so maybe he found a Gomel Parech in order to do his mischief. He was looking for trouble and he found trouble. When it comes to testimony, we're not going to... Why would they do this? Why would we suspect that they would have taken a Gomel Parech and gotten themselves in such trouble with their testimony? It would make no sense. So we're not choshes for over there. We're only choshish for it in the case of the get, because there's a possibility that he deliberately engineered this gamla parcha in order to cause trouble and improperly divorce a woman by giving her a bogus divorce. Tosu's second approach is Rabbi Nachum Pirish, or Rabbeinu Tam in some versions of Tosu's, the hasam emisa da'azlu b'gamla parcha ha'ilam litun kein. Really, gamla parcha is a distinct possibility. Halacha considers as valid the possibility of a gamla parcha. But, in the case of Edom Zoman, when we find Hazama, we confront them with the challenge to their credibility, they should have explained. Even though they saw us in Narda in the evening, we were in Surah in the morning, and we traveled via gamla parcha. If they remain mute and they don't offer that defense, Miglo Amruhach Yishmamina Deshaker Hameidim, if they don't offer that explanation to rescue their own credibility, we can safely conclude that's not what happened. So really, it is a distinct possibility, but if they don't offer it, it must not be what happened. Rabbi Kiveger, on the Rambam, and actually the Meiri already says this, the Achronim all assume, according to Tosfos, it's pretty clear that if the Edom Zoman do actually offer this defense, we'll believe them. It's only if they don't, and on the contrary, Adrab, if they don't offer it, we can safely assume that's not what happened. A number of the Sephardic Rishonim, Ramban, and his followers, Ritva, Rashba, others, do not like the second shot of Tosis. They don't discuss the first shot of Tosis. They discuss the second shot of Tosis. They say, this makes no sense. They say, lo nehira, the Ramban says. The Torah says, v'tilu ha'eda. We have an imperative in the Torah to save defendants in capital cases. The Edom Zoman in a capital case themselves become capital defendants when they're convicted of Hazama. When the Mezimim come and convict them of lying, they get killed. So how can we kill them? If there's a possibility of Gamla Parcha, and if they would offer that possibility, they would be saved. So how can we execute them just because they don't offer it? Maybe the Ramban says they're not offering this defense because B'Isusa, they're scared, they're terrified of being convicted, or because they think the Rabbanu won't believe them. They realize that Gamla Parcha is such a weak-sounding defense, they don't even offer it, they think basically will ever believe them. But Vitzilu Ha'eda, how can we possibly convict them and execute them based on the fact that they didn't offer this defense? That goes against all the standard rule that we have to offer every defense possible on behalf of a defendant in a capital case, the Edom in this case, even if they don't offer it themselves. Ritva also, the Ritva feels that this chat is very difficult. Ein Zenachon, neither Be'enei Harav Rabbeinu Ramban, or Be'enei Rabosai, his other teachers. Vade says, Yitzilu Ha'eda, anything that they could say for themselves, we would volunteer on our own, we would offer the defense for them, because again, B'Isusa, or because they think we won't believe them, but of course, B'Tilu Ha'eda says we have to offer on their behalf any possible defense. So they don't accept Tosis. They say that if they themselves would be Naaman to say this, we would offer it on their own behalf. Instead, the pshat they like is the third pshat. They bring a pshat of Rabbi Avram Av Beistin, that is the Ravid Hasheni, the author of the Eshkol, the father-in-law of the Ravid Hashlishi, or the famous Ravid Bala Sagas. The Rav Av Beistin says, really, we are not choshish for Gamla Parcha, as the Gemara in Makkah says. It's too far-fetched, too far out a possibility. It's not a credible possibility. We don't seriously consider it. So why did the Gemara Nivamas mention it? The Gemara Nivamas really meant the third possibility, the possibility of Mili Masar, that they commissioned the get. Anan Barchia, the mischievous Anan Barchia, may have commissioned the get while he was in Narda, and the Edom went and wrote the get in Surah. That's the only realistic possibility. The other two, the possibility of teleporting via divine name, or the possibility of Gamla Parcha, those are not realistic possibilities. The Gemara throws them in as a sniff. Once the Gemara was asking the real Kasha of Mili, the Gemara throws in every other possibility you can think of too, no matter how far-fetched. That's the Derech of the Gemara. The Derech of the Gemara is Afshinan Taimi, the Ramban says. That's the Derech of the Talmud. Gamla Parsa, the Ramban calls it. We throw in other things too, but those are not realistic possibilities. On their own, they wouldn't stand. They're only thrown in as additions to the main kasha of Mili Masa. Now, the truth is, I really don't understand the Shita of the Ramban and the Ritva. They reject Tosis on the grounds that if they themselves, the Edom, could offer the defense of Gamla Parcha, we would offer it for them because Vitilu Ha'eda. So why actually do they say they cannot offer the defense? The Rikveger says, the Miri says, they themselves, according to the Ramban and the Ritva and the other Sephardic Rishonim, say that the possibility of Gamla Parcha is so far out, we don't consider it at all, whether they themselves say it or not. Why not, Taka? Why don't we consider the possibility? There is such a thing, after all, as a Gamla Parcha. So the Ritva explains, we don't consider it because that Azlina B'dinin Nefashis Basaruba, the rule is, he brings a Gemara in Ben Sarah Remara, even in Dinei Nefashos, we follow Rav, Bein Lekula, Bein Lechumra, that we follow Rav, we don't consider minority possibilities. The Ramban elaborates a little bit more. The Ramban says, the Kamashlan of the Gemara in Makkos is, Lo Shchichi Klal, these possibilities of Nahara Barya, of extraordinarily keen sight, or of Gamla Parcha, the flying camel, are Lo Shchichi Klal. It's not just a miut, it's a miut lo shchicha, according to one text. It's completely implausible, as we discussed in our lecture on simanim and DNA, things which are really lo shchiach, goes beyond simple a question of rov and miut, we're not choshish even dinei nefashos. The truth is, this topic of whether in dinei nefashos we follow simple rov or not is a very complex and difficult topic, full of stiras. But in any event, the Ramban and the Ritva are both saying that for purposes of our sugya, we apply the rule of the Gemara and Ben Sora Ramara, that we are not choshish for miut, and that's why we don't take seriously the possibility of the Gamla Parcha. So in Mela, I really do not understand the shita of the Ramban and the Ritva. They have no problem saying that Gamla Parcha is such a remote possibility, we don't consider it. So what's wrong with Tosus? They ask in Tosus, well, if they themselves could plead Gamla Parcha, we should plead it for them, because Vitzilu Ha'eda. But they themselves agree that there can be a possibility that is so remote that we don't consider it, even in spite of its Tzilu Ha'eda, because Holchen Basar Rov. So maybe Tosis just held, Gamla Parcha is objectively a realistic possibility, but in light of the fact that they don't say it, it becomes unlikely. In light of their silence on the matter, that itself allows us to reduce the probability to a very remote possibility. And the Ramban and the Ritva themselves agree that there's such a thing as a remote enough possibility we don't consider it. So why is it so hard for them to accept that the Sheet of Tosis is that while the possibility itself is objectively plausible, but in light of their silence on the matter, it becomes implausible. Why is that conceptually so difficult? So I don't know. But in any event, these are three pshatim now. Two pshatim of Tosus, the third pshat of the Rav Avestin, that Gamla Parcha is really not something we're choshish for at all. The Gemara Nivamas is only a sniff, it's Dechuya, some Rishonim use the Lashon. In any event, Gamla Parcha and Shame also, Kvitai De Shame, are not plausible possibilities. The Gemara just throws them in as extra Phillips to the Kasha, which is really from Mili Mimsa. Fourth Mahalach is in the Tosfos Shanz. Achiezer brings this. Tosfos Shanz learns that all the Rishonim suggest the possibility, which they reject, but all the other Rishonim suggest the possibility, maybe in Gittin, in the context of Gittin, which is the context of our Sugin Yavamas, it's just a Chumrah to be Choshesh for the second Adam Barchia. Even if he wasn't there, we'll be Machmer, maybe he came via flying camel, maybe he came via Shem. But it's only a Chumrah. And maybe the Gemara in Makkos is Meikar Adin. But all the Rishonim say, that can't be, because if there was enough basis to be Machmer that the get shouldn't be kosher in Yavamas, then who Adin, when it comes to Dinei Nefashos, Vetzilu Ha'eda. We're not going to convict the defendant, that we're not going to execute the Edom Zomen if there's even a possibility that they're not really lying. So, insofar as we're Machmer that the get should be possible, we should also be Machmer not to kill the Edom Zomen. So the Tosfos Shanz says, that's true. That's exactly what the Gemara means. When the Gemara says we're not choshesh for Gamla Parcha, what the Gemara means is that we're not going to use Gamla Parcha to rescue the credibility of the Edom Zomen and actually execute the defendant. That's what we don't do. We're not going to say, since it's a possibility of Gamla Parcha, we'll believe the Edom and we'll actually convict and execute the murderer. That we don't do. Because to kill the defendant, to kill the original defendant, the alleged murderer, for that we're not going to introduce Gamla Parcha. But of course, if it comes to killing the Zomen, we're going to say, certainly, we'll certainly be choshish for the Gamla Parcha, just like in Yavamas. The two sugyas fit beautifully together. Gamla Parcha is a possibility to L'chumra, but never L'kula. We're not going to be makshir something based on Gamla Parcha. We're not going to execute somebody based on Gamla Parcha. Adrabah, we're going to save somebody from execution based on Gamla Parcha. So according to the Tosfos Shanz, the understanding of the Gemara in Makkos is, the Gemara says, Pshita. Of course, if the Edom were seen in Naharda in the evening, and they claim to have been in Surah in the morning, of course they're lying, and of course we should kill the we're not going to kill the defendant. The Gemara says, no, you might think that you do kill the defendant because of Gamla Parcha. You might think we introduce Gamla Parcha to rescue the credibility of the Edom, and we actually kill the defendant, because we have two Edom here, and we can't conclusively prove they're lying. Kamashmalan, that to kill the defendant, we're not going to consider the possibility of Gamla Parcha. But of course, when it comes to killing the Edom, Adrabah, then we're going to go like the Gemara in Yavamas. We're going to say that we are choshish for Gamla Parcha. So we're not going to kill neither the alleged murderer nor the Edom. We're not going to kill the alleged murderer because we're not going to assume a gamla parcha in order to kill the murderer, but neither are we going to kill the Edim, because we are going to assume a gamla parcha to kill them, to rescue them. So we're not going to kill, we're neither going to kill the Edim nor the alleged murderer. That's the sheet of the Tosa Shans. The Ritva and the Ramban don't learn like this. The Ritva and the Ramban learn, the Ritva explains that even in the Havamin of the Gemara in Makkos that says, Nechush legamla parcha, before the Kamash Malon, there's no Havamin of the Ritva says that we were actually going to use a gamla parcha to kill the defendant. That makes no sense at all, he says. Gamla parcha is a very remote possibility. So even though two aids in the Torah says we have to believe them, if the only way to believe them is by introducing gamla parcha, it was pashut to the Gemara that we were never going to kill the defendant. So never going to kill the original murderer. The only Havamina would have been that we're going to use Gamla Parcha to rescue the Edom Zoman, and the Kamash Malon is no, that we do kill the Edom Zoman. In spite of the possibility of Gamla Parcha, we're not choshev Gamla Parcha, even when it comes to killing the Edom. We do kill the Edom. That's why the Ramban says, in spite of Atzilu Ha'eda, the Ramban of the Ritva say that you kill the Edom anyway because of Holchen Basar Rov. And the Mela, since we see even Lakula, so to speak, that we're not choshev Gamla Parcha, the Mela they had the Kasha from the Gemara in Yevamos. And they have to say, the chiluk they said, based on the Rav Av Basin. Mashenkin, the Tosa Shan, says, no, the Shachmatari of the Gemara is not about killing the Edom. We never kill the Edom. Even the Maskana that we don't consider Gamla Parcha, we still consider it Legabe saving the Edom. And that's why the Sugi is consistent with the Sugi in Yevamos. The Shachmatari of the Gemara, according to him, is the Havmina would have been that we do kill the defendant, which the Ritva says is Pashut, there's no such Havmina. He says, no, there is such a Havmina. The Havmina was, we use Gamla Parcha to rescue the credibility of the Edom, even to the extent of executing the alleged murder, Kamash Malon that we don't, but killing the Edom, we certainly don't do, even Lepina Maskana. So it's very symmetrical. The sheet of the Tosa Shant and the sheet of the Ritva are opposites. According to the Ritva, killing the defendant, it was out of the question even in the Havamina, and the Shachmatari of the Gemara is about killing the Edom. According to the Tosa Shant, killing the Edom is out of the question, even Lemaskana, and the Shachmatari is about killing the defendant, the original defendant, the alleged murder. Nachiezer just points out, he's not sure, the Ritva says the same thing about Nahara Beria, that we're not choshev in Nahara Beria. Nachiezer says, let's just give him an eye test. Let's test him. Gamla Parcha, I guess, he doesn't ask, maybe it's not around. They claim they found the Gamla Parcha that morning, now they don't have her anymore. But Nahara Beria, let's just give him a test, see if they have this extraordinary vision or not. I guess Nachiezer feels, it's not mustaver to say that morning we were blessed with exceptionally strong sight, which has gone away. Nahara Beria would be a permanent talent they have. If they can see far away, so let's just give them a test and see if they're actually capable of vision to such extraordinary distances or not. The fifth and final teretz in the Rishonim to this kasha between Yevamos and Makkos is found in the Meiri. Meiri also asked the question. One teretz he brings is the Rav Avbeis's teretz, the other teretz is the Chuya, we don't go like it, it's just a sniff to the real question of Mili. Then he brings the teretz of Lechumra and says Lechumra wouldn't work, then we should not execute the Edom either because of Lechumra. He learned like the Ritva that the issue with the Gemara is executing the Edom. Then he says Yesh Mefarshim, that the only reason in Yevamos really we're not choshev gamla parcha. The reason why in Yevamos we do is because there the circumstances point in that direction. Raglayim Ladavar, he says, it seems that there's something going on here because we didn't find any other Adam in Harda except this one. And therefore, since this is the only one we found, yesh lachish baladvarim harachokim achashenon imnon, we consider that it's his guess, even if it's a very remote possibility. Lahachmer b'sarishis. I don't fully understand what he means. The pashup shan of the Gemara is, we have an Anon locally. He's the one we believe wrote the get. We're only considering if there's another Anon, maybe he really wrote the get, and maybe the get is really possible. So Kamash, as long as we can rule him out, we'll assume it's the Anon that we know, that we hope and think wrote the get. What's Raglayim Ladavar? Doesn't it make more sense to say it's the Anon whose wife we're actually talking about, the Anon that we do know of locally? Miri may have been assuming we don't know who the Anon is locally, but obviously we have an Isha who we think her husband wrote the get. So Miri seems to learn maybe we didn't find the Anon locally, we don't know what her husband's name is, I'm not sure why we wouldn't know. In any event, I don't really understand what he means by Raglayim Ladavar, but that's the fifth and final pshat in the Gemara that normally we're not choshev gamla parcha, except here, where for some reason there's Raglayim Ladavar to believe it was actually this Anon who must have somehow mysteriously arrived, even though he was seen in Harda that day. Returning now, just spend a few minutes on the other possibility of the Gemara, Kvitza al yidei shem, Kvitza, which Rashi says means teleportation via the divine name. This possibility appears in another Gemara too. This appears in the Gemara in Erevin. The context of the Gemara is Tchumen, Tchum Shabbos. The Gemara discusses the famous question of Tchumen L'malam E'asara. Is there Tchumen more than 10 tefachim above the ground? The Gemara explains the Shaila. If you're walking on a ramp, if you're walking on an amud, which is an overpass, which is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide at least, that's not a Shaila. That's Aras Mechta. That's an extension of the ground. It's like thick ground. That's the same as walking on the ground. So how do you ever have a Shaila of Kumin if a bridge or an overpass doesn't count? Kiti Bailach, Ba'amud Gavoa, Saravena Rachav Arba. Either you have a pillar which is very narrow, it's less than 4 tefachim wide. Inami the Kazal B'Kvitza. Alternatively, someone's traveling via Kvitza. What does that mean? Rashi says, B'Shem. Kvitza means B'Shem. Lishnachrina, a ship, Svina. So the Gemara pretty clearly has two possibilities. Either the Amud, which is less than 4 tefachim wide, or Kvitza, which Rashi says means B'Shem. The Rambam, when he brings this halacha down, does not bring anything about shame. Instead, the Rambam says, the Tchum L'mal Ma'asar Tfachim, what's the case? Shekafat Fal Gabe Amudim Shekvah Nasara. The person is jumping from on multiple Amudim, which are 10 Tfachim high, the Ein Mechalechimahem Arba Al Arba. But these Amudim are not 4 Tfachim wide. So the Rambam seems to have combined, conflated Kvitza with Amudim and brought only one possibility, nothing to do with shame. Someone is leapfrogging across, like a platformer, leapfrogging from one Amud to another, like Super Mario Brothers or something like that. So the Ar HaYashar on the Rambam is Matnia on Rashi. He says, why on earth did Rashi invent Kvitza B'Shem, Bilti Muvan, such a strange idea, supernatural idea? Why didn't he learn Kaputo like the Rambam, that Kvitza means bounding from Amud to Amud? The truth is, what he says, I think, is a Pella, because the Gemara has, according to the Gersa we have in the Gemara at least, the Gemara has two very distinct possibilities. One is Amud. Inami, the Gemara says, Kazal B'Kvitza. So Kvitza and Amud are not the same shot. So Rashi had to learn Kvitza is shame. The Rambam, either he had another Girsa, or he just didn't want to bring down the Gemara's Ukimtas. The Rambam, as we've discussed elsewhere, never likes to incorporate supernatural elements into his halacha. He always looks for ways to avoid Gemara's, or to rephrase Gemara's that have supernatural components, as various Achronim noted, including the Marsham and the Sholem Eshev. But in any event, the Ar Yashar thinks the Rambam's pshat is pashut. On the contrary, it really doesn't seem to fit into our Girsa. And the truth is, the Derech Tamim, so this in the Dirshu Mishnah Brewer, the Derech Tamim, a Sefer on Tchumen, he notes the fact, he calls it the Mechaber, it's really the Rambam, he says the Mechaber in Ar Chaim, Shulchan Aruch, Siman Taf Dalad, left out Kvitza B'Shem. Mishnah Brewer throws it in, Mishnah Brewer says, also shame. The Derech Tamim says, why did the Shulchan Aruch leave out shame? So he says, first of all, Eino Shchiach Bizmanenu. In our time, nobody really knows how to teleport using the divine name. But Odie Shlomer, he says, even someone who does know how to do it, you're only allowed to do it, the Mefarshim say, in Yerodea, the Shach, others, you're only allowed to utilize divine names, B'Kedusha, V'Tara, L'Tzarach Mitzvah Rabbah, you have to have a really good reason, and V'Tara and Kedusha, B'Doros Halalu, we don't have such people. Sounds like he's saying we have people who know how to do it, but not with the requisite Kedusha and Tara. Whatever it is, that's why the Shulchan Aruch left it out. He seems to ignore the fact that it was actually the Rambam who left it out, and the Rambam left it out presumably because he didn't learn the Gemara like that, because of his avoidance of the supernatural, for some other reason. Rav Yaakov Emden on the Gemara has a problem. He says, on Rashi, he says, traveling via teleportation, via shame, he says, that sounds very problematic, he says. From the Psukim, from the text of Tanakh, he says, even the Nevi'im didn't use shame to travel by Kvitza. Eliyahu spent 40 days wandering around in the desert. He didn't just say a shame and save all that time and effort, he says. And the Nevi'im, even to save their lives, they didn't use shame. The Nevi'im were killed, were executed by villains, he says. They didn't use shame to transport themselves away. Yirmiyahu, when he was thrown into a dungeon, into a bar, he didn't rescue himself by shame. Many Nevi'im were killed. He says, and even Yeshayahu, the Gemara says Yeshayahu did try when he was being persecuted by Menasheh. He did try to use a shame. It didn't work very well. He was caught and Menasheh killed him. Why? And the rule is, Kol Mishtamish B'Targa Chalif, anyone who tries to use divine, holy powers for his own benefit is going to get in trouble. So shame, Rav Emden finds it strange if the Gemara would just blithely talk about somebody traveling via shame. He finds that somewhat problematic. I saw in the Shas Lablin, they point out that there are many other statements in Chazal, Midrashim, and different Svarim. People did use shame, all kinds of Tanoim even, and all kinds of other figures did use shameless to accomplish certain things. It's a difficult topic when you can and when you may or may not use shame. In any event, Rambam leaves it out, Mishnah Brewer throws it back in, Rakan Emden as well as the Derech Tamim point out that it's not such a simple matter to use shame, certainly not Bizman Hazeh. Returning in conclusion to the Gamla Parcha, the camel that travels swift as a bird, what exactly did Chazal have in mind by the Gamla Parcha? An interesting article by Dr. Moshe Ranan presents two possibilities. One is that it refers to the racing camel. Unlike the ordinary camels we know that are beasts of burden, used in caravans, transport people and cargo across deserts, the racing camels are bred and raised for racing. They travel quite quickly. They can reach 65 kilometers an hour for brief periods. They can reach 30, 40 kilometers an hour for an hour at a time. They can reach 11 to 19 kilometers an hour for up to 18 hours at a time. Now, how far away are Surah and Harda? Our Gemara deal with the possibility of traveling from one to the other in a day. So in an article by Rabbi Nassim David Rabinowitsch, he says that Surah and Harda were about 20 parsos apart, about 100 kilometers apart, and therefore it's quite easy to get from one to the other via racing camel. So easy, in fact, that now we have to understand why the Gemara considers Gamla Parcha such a remote possibility. It actually seems perfectly reasonable to get from Surah to Harda in one day, 100 kilometers, even at its relatively slow speed of 11 to 19 kilometers an hour, shouldn't take more than 10 hours, and less than it can if it travels at high speeds, can get there in only a few hours, or even 1 hour. One or two, a few hours, several hours. So, presumably the point would be that the racing camels were not common things. They were raised by kings, they were raised by rich people, special racing tracks. The ordinary citizen, the ordinary commoner, wouldn't have had much access to a racing camel. Another theory, proposed by one Nathaniel Mills, and then other authors subsequently, is that it actually refers to an ostrich. The ostrich is even faster than the camel. The ostrich's top speed, at least when being chased by predators, is 70 kilometers an hour, faster than the camel's top speed of 65 kilometers an hour. The ostrich is actually the fastest two-legged animal. So the ostrich itself is a bird. It looks kind of like a camel, and the ancients actually considered it possibly a cross or a hybrid between a camel and a bird. That may have been what Chazal meant when they referred to Gamal HaParech. It is rideable. Ostriches are sometimes raced, although not very comfortably. The back is not well-shaped for riding, and certainly the ostrich is not a very practical conveyance and is a fairly outlandish, bizarre possibility, and that might fit quite nicely into what Chazal meant when they said the remote possibility of a Gamla Parcha, a camel that travels swiftly as a bird, that actually is a bird. So that's the second possibility in what Chazal may have meant by Gamla Parcha. Either racing camels, really quick, specialty camels, or the ostrich, the bird camel.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.